Recovery 101, yeah, with your hosts Bruce, Shelley, and Mark. They want to talk with you, joke with you, and tell you the facts. They want to see you in recovery, working those steps. And when you're through, they want to chat with you. Put down the jack in the crack and take a step on back and go to a meeting and keep coming back. And then tune to recovery101.net. And when you're through, they want to joke with you.
Hey, I'm Dr. Drew, and you are listening to Recovery 101.
Thank you to Courtney for our marvelous Recovery 101 jingle. Recovery 101 does not speak for AANAOACAGAPALA. Wait a minute. We don't speak for LA. SLA, SLA, ACRRRMMDRAHAPAFACMA.
Have you ever actually lived in LA?
Walking in LA.
In the city limits?
We're not speaking for
LA. No, I have not.
I have.
Have you?
Yes, so I can speak for LA.
I love LA. You can speak for LA? Okay.
Sure.
Shelley's going to speak for LA. I wonder if Mayor Villa Ragosa will have anything to say against that.
I don't know. Why don't you have him take a poll?
A vote?
Yeah, have him take a vote.
Welcome to Recovery 101. My name is Bruce B., as always, with
Shelley.
And Mark.
Sweet.
She's looking at it. She's giving you the eye.
Yeah, why am I getting the eye?
No, you're not getting the eye. I'm just thinking, if I'm going to speak for LA, but I have to do it through Villa Ragosa, I'm going to have to do cue cards. And we know what happens when he gets in front of cue cards.
He freezes.
He freezes up.
Well, you know. I actually saw an interesting thing. What we're referring to is a thing from the Democratic National Convention where they voted on something several times where it didn't really sound like it had gone in the affirmative. And then right after that, I actually saw a video from the RNC that had like a identical thing. You know, they do a thing, clearly it's a 2/3 vote on this one thing, to do this other one, clearly it's not. I mean, they didn't vote on it 3 times, but it was like half and half. And I was like, oh, look at that. Seems to go both ways. So, Shelley.
Yes?
You were quite spiritual a little while ago.
Like, I just got out of choir rehearsal. The new choir season started.
Choir season. What are you guys running right now, like? 1-0?
Yeah, we'll have a sudden death sing-off at the end of the season.
Awesome. Gonna sing against another church?
Yeah.
Choir season. How many are you allowed to shoot?
Sudden death. Sudden death choir season.
No, it's just, I think one of the main reasons why our church, because not all churches have a choir season. Some just do their bit whenever they're supposed to.
Some have air conditioning.
Well, we have air conditioning, but our church, the ceiling is so high, it takes a long time for it to get cooled down. And
it's probably 35, 40 feet right in the middle.
Massively high church, high ceiling. And then on top of that, I think the main reason why they take July and August off is because we have these hugely heavy polyester robes, and everybody sweats.
You should get new robes.
What we were talking about today. We were talking about getting lighter robes.
But I think you should get sheer white robes and go naked underneath. That would make me spiritual.
Yeah, I'll bet.
Mark, how was your day?
It was a day.
Uh-oh.
It was just a day. I can't tell you there was anything really remarkable about it.
It's another day in recovery.
Just another day in recovery.
On the correct side of the dirt.
Well, yeah, that did make it better.
What if you're a spelunker?
That's true.
If you're a spelunker, then you'd be on the correct side of the dirt for you.
That's right. Yes.
If you were a spelunker, you'd be on the correct side of the dirt no matter where you were.
Yes, you would.
That's right.
You get buried, you're still good. Yeah, Mark called me today for something that's in the boozy news.
All right.
It's awesome. Wait till we get to that.
I saw it live.
Oh, by the way, It's time for the boozy news. And the news not fit for booze. That was not too shabby. That was pretty damn good. I might be losing my job.
That's just because you don't enunciate your tuz.
That's
doot.
A deputy. I this is St. Augustine, Florida.
Florida.
There you go. He noticed a blue Nissan Frontier in the middle of the median, wrecked into the traffic streetlight pole.
Is that unusual?
In Florida, no.
Yeah.
In Florida, it's practically a lawn decoration.
Huh.
The driver appeared to be standing next to the vehicle, door wide open. You know.
Was he naked?
No.
So it wasn't Randy Travis.
No, it wasn't Randy, Travis. Raymond DeSales Stubbs.
Stubbs. Oh, this is going to have an interesting ending to it.
The deputy noted that he had bloodshot, watery eyes, slurred speech, and smelled of booze.
Probably he had been drinking.
Okay. Police asked him about the crash. He said that he had had 6 beers just before he left the bar at Jacksonville Beach. And then he said, wait a minute, I only had 2 beers.
Oops.
He's having a memory problem.
Yeah. He was very adamant about the fact he only had 2 beers. Until a few minutes later, he slipped up and said, I only had 6 beers. Which really didn't matter because he would have gone to jail for drunk driving anyway because 2 beers put you over the legal limit. But the guy, you know, thought he was sober enough to drive. He crashed into the traffic signal. He refused to take the field sobriety test, which was the instant go to jail.
Go directly to jail.
Yeah, do not pass, go.
Do not collect 200.
Yes.
What was the kicker in the story? Was that it?
No, the fact that he wasn't sure how many beers he had.
Now, if he had done what I did and write down everything he drank, then he would have known how many beers he had.
Well, I don't think he really wanted to say how many he had, but...
He had somewhere between 2 and 6.
Are you having trouble with those papers?
I am. Well, because normally when I do boozy news, I would just have it on the computer, but...
Yeah, why don't
do you,
you?
I got called...
By the way, shout out to Bruce. And then Bruce sent in a couple, and then Bruce submitted a couple more.
Bruce...
And then Bruce had one or two more after that.
That's because Shelley was a little busy this afternoon.
You shouted out to yourself for multiple times?
Shelley shouted out to me multiple times. Bow chicka bow bow.
Insert eye roll here.
Oh, the curse of being a bridesmaid.
Do we have a bridezilla story?
Well... Think about it. You got to shell out a bunch of dough for a dress you're never going to wear again. You got to buy gifts for the brides. You got to attend bridal showers and all that stuff. And if you're not lucky, you could also have a costly DUI. Holmes Beach, Florida.
Wait, a costly DUI?
A costly DUI.
That's usually not part of being a bridesmaid.
Well, here's the thing.
Where what was this?
Holmes Beach.
Florida!
Yes, that's correct.
Your Floridas are better.
Florida!
Clearly.
She got arrested for going 18... Well, she got pulled over for going 18 miles an hour over the speed limit, which, for a normal thing...
Isn't a big deal.
18 miles an hour over the speed limit. Not a big thing. But she seemed a little iffy. That's the way the cop said. She looked a little iffy. So he got her out of the vehicle, and during her field sobriety check, she was unable to stand in the upright position.
That's a
clue. Is there another position to stand in?
Everything else is not standing.
Well,
yeah.
No. I'm sorry. Unable to stand in the starting position. So he said, I want you to start right here and walk this line. She was unable to stand at that line.
Okay, so.
After attempting to instruct her several times how to perform the walk and turn, she says, I'm done. I don't want to look like a fool. just before she fell and broke her nose on the pavement.
Ow.
Oh, how close to the wedding was this?
It doesn't say. But on her way to the pokey, she allegedly admitted to having several drinks and stated, this is what I get for being a damn bridesmaid.
That's right.
See, now this is why, well, not that particularly, but both times that I got married, I had my bridesmaids go with me to the mall and let them pick out their own dresses.
Yeah.
I didn't care what color it was as long as they all matched. The dresses could be different dresses as long as the set color was. And mm-hmm. the second time, when Bruce and I got married, I only had one bride, so I had a maid of honor, and we went to the clearance rack at the JCPenney prom dress section, and my wedding dress was $24.95, and her dress was like $32.
The bridesmaid had to pay more than the bride.
That's because she picked out that dress. That's the dress she wanted.
Okie doke.
She thought she might wear it again. That's the way you do it.
Wow.
You got something else, Bruce?
Oh, yeah. South Los Angeles, California. Bank robbery suspects Wednesday led authorities on a bizarre pursuit from Santa Clarita to South Los Angeles, which is a fair clip of distance.
That's a move.
Where they began throwing money out the car, drawing crowds eager to scoop up the cash, culminating in a mob scene. It was now Mark. Yes. Mark watched this happen. So Mark,
I watched
give
this
us
live.
A roving reporter.
Yeah. So exactly what happened? Because this doesn't sound logical. This sounds like something out of a movie.
Four guys robbed a bank in Santa Clarita. They took off. Two guys jumped out of the car. One of them got away. The other one eventually got caught. The other two guys led police down through a chase. Down the 210, across the 110, into South Central Los Angeles.
Oh, man.
Where they then started a wide circle along the same path over and over and over again. So just south of the Coliseum.
So why didn't the cops, if they saw them doing it over and over, why didn't they put down tax strips or something?
The cops were afraid because the men were armed. It was an armed robbery. They did not want to stop them in a neighborhood.
Oh,
where they could exchange fire.
Okay.
So the police just followed them. At one time, there were 14 police cars behind this one car.
It was a parade.
When they started throwing money out the windows and people started running into the street to scoop it up.
It says people began gathering on the sidewalk and running behind the SUV, picking up the money.
At one point, two police cars went by and the people ran in the street, cutting off the rest of the procession of police cars, scooping up money. They kept doing. Then the second time through, there were hundreds of people waiting on the sidewalk for them to come by. Then the third time around, they finally got a guy finally cut them off, and the police moved in very quickly to arrest them. Only to have the 8 or 10 cops that were there turn around to have a scene of 500.
Oh my gosh!
A huge crowd of people began surging towards the police cars and rocking the police cars.
Rocking the police cars.
Oh, bad
situation.
Trying to get
into the SUV to see if there's any more
money
in it.
Right.
263 officers in riot gear showed up.
Oh, yeah. It was a party.
To push the crowd back.
It was a party. It was a blue party, I'll tell you.
Yes.
But they did an excellent job, by the way, though, because there were no issues. They
weren't really robbers. They were Robin Hoods. They robbed from the rich and gave to the poor.
They were Democrats.
That's exactly what
they took somebody else's money and gave it to the poor.
That's exactly what the story said.
Yeah.
They were Democrats. They were taking money and giving to the poor.
Taking other people's money.
Now I've got that Cali song stuck in my head.
Which one?
Well, because you said in Los Angeles, California, and I got going back to Cali. Kelly.
So, Kelly. Yeah, but it was an entertaining way to spend about an hour and a half today.
Yeah.
What was amazing,
I saw some of it. I watched it.
What was amazing is they're pushing everybody back, and they've got a really good block and a half perimeter, and I'm sitting with a friend of mine watching this. And he's like, why are these people still there? Why don't they just go away? There's nothing to watch. And I looked at him. I said, we're still watching.
Yeah, exactly.
He goes, you know, good point. Everybody's watching. It's like one of those old westerns where everybody's got their hand on their gun and everybody's waiting for somebody to pull the trigger.
Yeah.
You know, everybody's watching, waiting for one guy to do something stupid.
You know, what is the state that seems to just give us the most boozy news?
Florida!
Florida.
Yes.
Florida!
Manatee County, which pretty much lets you know it's Florida. Jeffrey Holiday, 25, had a crash that he had just been involved in. Said the Tampa man had been sitting down. To get to his feet, he fell over. At some point...
He hit his head.
He wanted to call someone, apparently a lawyer, and he picked up his pack of cigarettes and dialed his lawyer and began to have a rather lengthy conversation while on his pack of cigarettes, holding it up, going, "Yes, I need you to come down to the police." And he's holding up a pack of Marlboros to the side of his head.
Wow.
The cop said this was the tip-off that he might have been drunk.
You think? Or impaired in some way.
He refused to perform the field sobriety test or a breath test, and the cop said, "That's okay, you don't need to." While in the back seat of the patrol car, he uttered other incriminating evidence like the quantity he had drank. And he started to talk to himself, saying things like, out loud, "God, you just shouldn't drink when you go out. If I'd been sober, I wouldn't be in handcuffs right now."
Yeah. A lot of people feel that way.
Yeah, the cops took note of that, and he'll be out someday.
Did his attorney ever show up?
I doubt it. But Philip Morris did.
Yeah. On the back of a horse. Marlboro man.
Authorities in Western New York, they've charged 4 Amish kids when their buggy collided with a police car while the kids were drunk.
Rumspringer.
Chautauqua County Sheriff's Office said the crash occurred in the rural town of Sherman, go figure, near the Pennsylvania border.
Of course.
It appeared that everyone in the buggy was drinking, and there were several Amish buggies on the country road. A patrol car arrived on the scene just as one of the Amish buggies crashed into it. The buggy flipped onto its side. Several other buggies were able to escape the scene.
How?
Because they're buggies, and there's only one cop car that just got in a wreck with one of the buggies.
Duh.
Could they identify the buggies?
Triangles on the back.
They said they asked a police officer if he could describe the buggies. He said they were black.
Didn't get a plate?
No plate. Let's see here.
They get pretty wild during Rumspringa.
Yeah.
We'll do this one for the last one. It's okay. Kind of a, in a way, it's sort of a feel-good story and a weird story at the same time. Plattsburgh.
Is there a hero involved?
No.
Okay.
Not really. A woman was driving her vehicle through 100 miles of upstate New York roads, and she stopped to get something to eat, and she heard a mewing.
Aww.
Meow. And
did she rescue a kitty?
She had stopped for coffee. Yeah, but the mewing was coming from the bumper of her Jeep.
Oh my gosh.
The kitten rode 110 miles in the bumper of the Jeep.
She's scared.
She's adopted the hitchhiker and named it Pumpkin. She estimates the lucky black cat was lodged in the car for about 22 hours and traveled some 110 miles.
She suffered a
broken paw during the ride. And that, my friends, is the boozy news and the news not fit for booze. That was quality.
Amazing Foley skills.
The New Way Foundation Victory House AWARE program is a state-licensed and certified substance abuse treatment provider located in Burbank. The New Way Foundation has a 50-bed residential program for men 18 to 64 years of age without insurance and outpatient programs for both women and men. New Way is a nonprofit foundation that is partially funded by Los Angeles Substance Abuse Prevention and Control under the Public Health Department and provides affordable and effective treatment. For over 40 years, New Way has been located in walking distance from beautiful downtown Burbank, numerous parks, and major transportation lines. In comfortable settings, nearly the entire continuum of care is offered by state-registered and certified counselors and interns. Don't wait for an accident, arrest, or overdose to contact us. Help yourself or your loved ones find treatment and the joys of recovery. When your way doesn't work anymore, try the New Way. You can reach us at 818-842-9416 or on the internet at new-way-foundation.com, helping 25,000 people find a new way since 1967.
Recovery 101, clean and sober internet radio. Yeah.
Shout out
to the New Way Foundation
and our friends at Sober
College.
Jez.
Sweet. Shelly, what's our topic?
You know.
Rigorous honesty.
Hey! She went.
Honestly, I just remembered.
Outstanding. So, the program says we should be rigorously honest.
What does this mean?
Right.
What do you think that means, Shelly?
Telling the truth.
About everything?
I think we're
boy, that's a
to.
Long pause there.
I think we're supposed to, but then there's the caveat phrase, except when to do so would injure them or others.
I don't think that goes with rigorous honesty.
No, it goes with...
Be rigorously honest,
but it's there somewhere.
So would injure them or others.
It goes with the amends, but part of the amends is getting honest with other people.
Like,
is
give
it
us
not?
Give us an example.
Well, the example in the book is the whole, if you had an affair, you're now supposed to be rigorously honest. Should you tell your wife?
Or the wife of the other person, or the husband of the other person. So in that case, it's okay to lie, or it's a lie. It's a lie of omission.
It's a lie of omission because you're not. Yes, you should be honest. You should be rigorously honest. But there is also a time to just keep your trap shut.
Okay, so it's a guy.
Okay.
Wife says, "Do these pants make my butt look big?" Mark, correct answer?
Of course not, dear.
Is that rigorously honest? Sometimes.
It is because I honestly like to get laid every now and then.
Why do women ask that question?
We don't know.
I don't know.
I've never asked that question.
I have never asked Bruce, these pants make my butt look... I've never asked you if anything makes my butt look big. I've asked you if I look okay in something, and I may or may not believe you.
And you know what I say? You look fine. She goes, what's wrong? You look fine. What's wrong? Like a fine wine, like fine china, like fine dining.
I still have never asked you if these pants make my butt look big, because frankly, I know my butt looks big.
I'm not 100%.
I don't need someone to confirm that for me.
I'm not 100% sure of that. Shelly's convinced her butt looks like two badly parked Volkswagens.
It's like two piglets trying to argue under a blanket.
Wow. So, Mark.
Two bulldogs trying to fight their way out of a burlap bag.
Yes, exactly.
So, Mark.
Yes.
Honesty.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think?
Well, I think that rigorous honesty is a very important part of this program, and I think the most important part of it is the fact that you need to be rigorously honest with yourself.
To thine own self be true?
Yes.
Now, if you're rigorously honest with yourself, can you then be dishonest with someone else?
Sure.
As long as you were honest with yourself?
Sure.
Ding, ding. Round one.
I think we've had this argument before.
I'm ready.
Last time we did this show.
I'm ready to hear it again.
Deja vu.
All over again?
Yes. I don't think it's okay to be honest with yourself if you're just going to lie to somebody else. I mean, yes, you should always be honest with yourself, but if you can't be honest with somebody else, then just don't say anything.
Okay, then let me go back to your previous statement. It's an amends.
Well, then we fall back on the except when to do so would injure them or others.
So there's a caveat that makes it okay.
It's not that it makes it okay. What it is we don't have the right, as it says in the book, we don't have the right to get relief at the expense of someone else.
Which brings us back to the point I made. However, you better be rigorously honest with yourself.
Yes, but then you can't go and lie to somebody else. Just don't say anything.
No, wait.
Except when to do so would injure them or others means you just don't say anything.
So we've already determined that's a lie of omission. Oh, Shelly. That Shelly took a left cross right there. She's like, what happened?
She supposes.
Okay, How about this?
His toasts are roses, as much as supposed as erroneously.
Have you ever, and Shelley may never have done this, have you ever, actually, and probably most people haven't done, like, have you ever, you know, been 1,000% honest on your taxes?
I've always been honest on my taxes every time I've done them.
How about your tax guy?
Except when you've had us go to H&R Block to do our taxes, I've always done my taxes
myself. No, H&R Block is they're legal. It's the other guy.
What other guy? I've never had any other tax guy.
Oh, yes, you have.
Well, I don't know about it.
No, you know.
I never signed anything.
Oh, well, of course you did.
When was this?
The last time we filed taxes.
So when you had Dewey do them?
Huh?
So when you had Dewey do them?
Yeah, Dewey do them.
From Dewey Cheatham and Howe?
Dewey Cheatham and Howe. Okay, how about this?
We filed separately last year.
How about this? Rigorous honesty. How about the little white lies? Are they okay? Because there's a variety pack of things that people could smidgen the truth on, you know.
I don't necessarily look at them as little white lies.
Little white rigorous lie?
I look at them as greasing the wheels.
Greasing the wheels.
Because sometimes you have social circumstances where someone is really not doing something kosher, or they look really strange, or there's something off. But it wouldn't really be socially correct to say, wow, that is the ugliest dress I've ever seen. So instead, what I'll do is I'll pick out something that is a truth, to avoid having to actually say the big truth. Like, if it's the ugliest dress I've ever seen, I'll say, wow, this is a really colorful dress. Which is true. It's just not the whole truth.
I've never seen an outfit like that before.
Exactly, something like that.
So it's a lie of omission.
Wow, that necklace is really unique. It looks like a dead bird hanging on your chest is the part I'd leave out.
Well, then you have the one person of a couple in the relationship appearing to not be really pleased with something that took place over the last hour or so. And having the other person in the relationship say, are you okay? And the answer coming back is, I'm fine.
Oh, that's a woman thing.
I wasn't going to assign sex to it.
Oh, you don't have to. It's a woman thing. I'll take care of that for you.
I take enough heat the way it is.
Yeah.
So now, is it okay that person just lied? Because that's not even a lie of omission. That's a lie of answering something untruthfully.
Yes, it is. But what I should actually say, instead of I'm fine, instead of fine, is I should just say I don't want to talk about it. Because that's the reality. That's what I'm really saying.
Okay.
What if you say...
But then that doesn't work because Bruce will say, well, why don't you even want to talk about it?
Shelley, what if you said the words, go ahead? Is that meaning I can actually go ahead, or is that more like a dare?
For me, it's both. Because sometimes I'm like, fine, go ahead, whatever, because I don't really care.
Fine and go ahead.
Because I don't really care. Well, no, if there's a whatever in there, it's okay. Because I don't really care. That means I don't care, do whatever.
We should have been playing Guess What This Means.
Yeah.
but if it's just go ahead or oh, go ahead, then it's, boy, are you going to be in trouble. Just wait.
How about if you say, wow?
Because the next word after that is really?
Yeah.
Yeah, good point.
Mark.
What if you were to, like, lie about your sobriety date? Like, tell somebody you had, like, 6 months when you didn't.
Yeah, how about that, Bruce?
Or something like that.
I did that.
How's that work out?
I did. Well,
especially if that person that you told that to actually stayed sober.
Actually, you know what? It ended up working well because I'm still here. But I met a guy that only had a couple of days, and he was at the Alano Club, and he was telling me, I don't think this will work. And even though it wasn't working for me, I knew it worked because I saw other people stay sober. So I told him, of course it works. Look at me, I've got 6 months. And the guy goes, oh my God, really? And we started road dogging together. And for the first time ever, I was able to neatly evade the 9 month chip thing. But it came time to take a cake. And I took one. Got up in the morning.
They give cakes for?
Didn't feel quite right. Well, I was just stretching my time a little.
Oh.
What's with the whole conscious thing? Where did that come from? Because I got up in the morning and I'm like, something just didn't feel right. And by the time I got to the meeting that night where I was supposed to take another cake at Charter Oak, there was a big cake there, like a half a sheet that said, Happy Birthday, Bruce, with a big one on it. I had to admit that I didn't have a year.
Oh.
And you know what really sucked about that?
What?
I tell this guy, I can't take a cake. He goes, I just saw you take a cake last night.
Did you go out?
He goes, did you party? Did you party for your 1 year? I said, no, I didn't party. And he goes, why can't you take a cake? And I said, I don't have a year. And he goes, how much time do you have? I go, 6 months. He goes, take a 6 month chip. I go, I'm supposed to be taking a cake. He goes, you can't take a cake. You don't have a goddamn year. Take a 6 month chip. It's like for him, it was like so easy. It's like, just take the 6 month chip. He's like, no one's going to care. I get honest. I tell everyone. It's met with widespread approval.
Uh-huh.
I still get to eat the cake.
You weren't voted out or anything?
No. I still get to eat the cake. And because of my rigorous honesty at that time, I'm still here.
They made you secretary?
Well, I've been secretary of that meeting numerous times, actually.
Yeah, I have too.
Actually, that reminds me of something that happened when I had my relapse. Because the
She drank an entire bottle of vodka.
Yep.
Yes, I tossed back an airline bottle and then threw it up. And then I, you know, can't not drink, decided I might as well just go to a meeting. I went to a meeting. I shared at that meeting. After the secretary said, if you've had any drugs or alcohol in the last 24 hours, you may not share. And I shared. I felt
you
like
may not share or we ask you not share?
We ask that you do not share. That's
okay,
what they
so
say.
They, didn't
well, they
tell
asked
you.
You didn't listen. So yeah. There you go.
I know, but I felt crappy the whole week. The next week, I had to go and admit that, and I apologized to the group, basically. I was the very first share. I raised my hand right away and said, I'm really sorry, but I have to admit that last week I had had a drink, and then I came and shared at the meeting, and I apologized for it. And the reality is that nobody gives a crap.
That's true.
Yeah. Nobody cares, really.
Isn't that weird how people only care about what you lied about?
Yeah.
They don't care when you tell them the truth.
When you tell the truth, they're good with it.
Most of the time. So. Like if you kill somebody and you admit to it, you're still going to jail.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yes.
We've determined the little white lie thing maybe isn't so bad. Is that what we've determined?
There may be circumstances when it's required.
Well, there may be circumstances where it's required to lie. Wait a minute.
Where it's more efficient.
Wait a minute. Shelley started this whole thing out with, you got to be honest about everything. Now she's like, now there's important times where you may have to lie.
Well, I'm just saying, okay, when I look at honesty, I mean, yeah, there's the little white lie thing that actually helps relationships not go south real fast.
Okay.
Like with your friends and stuff. But then there's also cash register honesty.
I have cash register honesty.
Now?
Well, now, yeah. Well, since I've been sober.
I have always had that. That's the one thing. That's the one thing I hang on to that I've always been good at is I don't take pens from work. I will go back to a store to return change if they've given me too much change, and I have always been that way. It's one of my few assets.
Shelley will drive 23 miles back to a store to give her the 16 extra cents she got.
Well, I don't think it was that far, but yeah, I have.
She drove several miles back to a store to give him whatever it was, 22 cents.
Mm-hmm. No, it was like 40 something cents.
Oh my God. So Shelley, what would your final words on rigorous honesty be?
To thine own self be true. And everybody else as well, except when to do so would injure them or others. There you go.
I still think you're misplacing that. But, Mark?
I am misplacing it, yes. But it still works.
Final words. Rigorous honesty.
Like most other things in this program, it's between you, God, and your sponsor.
There you go.
Well, and the guy you lied to.
Not necessarily.
If he finds out about it. And then it'll be between you, God, your sponsor, the guy you lied to, and everybody at the club that he told.
No, because I would just throw my sponsor under the bus. I told my sponsor, he told me to keep it to myself.
There you go.
Blame him. Arrest him.
Yeah. My final words on rigorous honesty would be, no, honey, those pants don't make your butt look big.
Your big, gigantic butt makes your butt look big?
Oh, I love that. Guy says, so I'm... My wife and I go to a counselor because she wants more honesty in the relationship. She said, do these pants make my butt look big? And I told her, no, it's your big fat ass that makes your butt look big. All of a sudden, she didn't want so much honesty.
Yeah.
Shelley.
Yeah.
Shelley.
Yeah, what?
Who is our friend back east?
That would be Bruce.
The other white meat.
He runs the 12-Step Gazette at 12stepgazette.com. You can read his fine publication online. You can have it emailed to you, or you can subscribe, and he will send it to you in the post. The peanut gallery just arrived.
Yes.
You can also go to, if you are on Facebook, go to the group 12-Step Gazette.
Gazoon Bless has, you.
It's
you.
The number 12 and the word Step Gazette. Just look it up on Facebook and ask to join. We could use some fresh blood.
Fresh blood. How about...
Can I join?
Yes. No, because you're not on Facebook.
Oh, rats.
Hey, Mark. People are listening to the show on iTunes.
People are
or
listening
Facebook
to the show in droves.
Yes, they are.
We know that by looking at the numbers.
Maybe just one drove. Not droves.
A drove?
A metric. We've had a metric crap ton of downloads.
We have. And you know what? And people have been following these directions, obviously, because our numbers have reflected it.
Yes.
So we ask that you go to recovery101.net and you listen to the show or download the show from our site. You can bring up the show. There's a little button underneath that says like. Click the like button.
You will like it.
Oh, of course you like it. You wouldn't be here otherwise. Anyway, click the like button, and if you're already a member, thank you. You've been counted. If you're not, you'll be asked. If you'd like to join Podomatic, we recommend you join Podomatic. It's for fun and for free. And at that point, you can like and comment. Leave show topics in your comments would be a really nice idea.
That would be very helpful.
Otherwise, you're going to listen to this all the time.
This kind of crap.
You can add to your playlists. You can follow the show. And enjoy. Thanks.
I notice we get more comments. We get more likes than comments or playlists. Because sometimes I'll look back and I'll see a thing and there'll be like 10 likes and there'll be 4 comments and 4 playlists. And I'm thinking, somebody was there. They click like. If they added the comment or the playlist, for some reason, that seems to figure into the rankings as well. And we'd like to know how many people have commented and things. So remember to do that as well. We've got email addresses at recovery_101@hotmail.com, recovery101radio@gmail.com. We got the crack advertising staff at recovery101radiosales@gmail.com. We've got videos at youtube.com/... I got to stop drinking before the show.
Yeah.
Forward slash easy look and
youtube.com/recovery101rule62. Don't take yourself so damn seriously, Bruce.
I'm doing my best not to. Shelley, who's the lead out music by? Whenever you're done, she could make me yawn.
I know.
There are like 4 million people just yawn.
The lead out music tonight is by Elektra. It's Turn It Around.
Turn it around, everybody. Try and leave it better than you found it, and be the example.
We're out.
And take care of you.
I've been to the ends, and I have pictures to show all of my friends. I've been all alone, and I've been desperate and searching for something. I've been to the end with no one that I catch me from falling. Take my hand, I'll show you the way. No matter how you look in the mirror.
up into the town and felt the insecurity inside.